Good morning, everybody. I do give you a very warm welcome on this very special weekend to our morning service, and thank you, everybody, for remembering the earlier start than usual. Things are running a little bit differently today. But let's begin anyway by listening to the words of Scripture from Psalm 121. I'll be taking you through Psalm 98 today, but let's hear the words of Psalm 121 as we come to worship. It's one of their songs of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let's rise and sing our opening hymn, which up on screen, as always, crown him with many crowns. Together, let's continue to worship the Lord. You can we bow before him this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Thank you. It's been good to sing your praise. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fact that you are in control. You are the real King who rules in all the affairs of the earth. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, the Lamb, upon the throne. Thank you for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, and it's through him that we have a hope now and in the life to come. Thank you for sending your Son to be the Saviour of mankind, and all who repent and believe and trust in him for salvation know the joy of assured salvation and hope, that hope now and for all eternity. In a world that where there is no hope, Things seem to be getting so much worse. The world, in fact, seems to be a dangerous place to live in now. But thank you that there is hope in thee. Thank you for sending your Spirit, Heavenly Father. May we, as a group of your people, be Spirit-filled and seeking to know your will in these days and living for you. We thank you that Jesus Christ is coming again. Someday time will be no more. But until that day, help us to labour on faithfully for you and live our lives in the light of his coming. And we do pray, Heavenly Father, before that time comes, that many others will hear and come to know Jesus Christ as their Saviour also. Heavenly Father, it's a special weekend in the calendar, and it's a time when we just simply remember those who laid down their lives during war times, Heavenly Father, so that we may be free to win a victory, Lord God. So we do pray, Lord, that you'd give comfort to people today as they remember, they minister to people, comfort those who have been bereaved as a result of conflict and war. Be near to them and give grace, we pray. Be near, Heavenly Father, as well to those who are laid aside for whatever issue or unable to join us this morning, we pray. You are a God who gives great comfort, Lord, that we can cast our cares and anxieties onto you, knowing that you care. Thank you, Lord. You're not just interested in the small things that go on, but also the big international events too. And we are reminded, Lord, on this day of remembrance, there's still war and conflict in different parts of the world. There's still oppression. There's still persecution against your people as well. We just bring such issues to you. We do pray, Lord God, for peace in the Middle East, that there would be peace between Jew and non-Jew, that peace will come when both sides are reconciled through Christ. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for this ongoing conflict in the Ukraine. Sometimes we don't hear so much about it as it others. But Lord, we do pray for a peaceful settlement and that you'll guide and overrule this situation. We pray for peace. We pray for peace, Lord, where there is conflict. And Lord, we do pray, as your word says, may the nations praise you. May all the nations praise you. Pray for the collapse, Lord, of false religions and ideologies. We pray, Heavenly Father, for people to find salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world undergoing extreme persecution, maybe some even in prison or labour camps for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, be near and give them a special sense of your grace on this day. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our time together. Be with us as we meet around your table. Help us as we worship you, Lord, and hear what you have to say from your word. Speak to us afresh, we pray, and renew us in our faith. We ask it, Lord God. So, Heavenly Father, be pleased to bless our time together. As I say, bless those who are not able to be with us this morning for whatever reason. Be with Norman out at Bodham as he's ministering to the folks there. And, Lord, just pray that you'd be near to your people, Lord, and give encouragement this day. And be with us, and may we know this day it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I give a few announcements? We will be coming now to the Lord's table, but I'm going to give the announcements first at this stage in the service, so I've got them here. So this is, of course, the remembrance service. Communion will be in a moment. Following communion, we will sing another hymn, we'll give the Bible reading, and then there will be the 2 minute silence at 11 o'clock. We are finishing at 11:30 today, all being well, depending how long the speaker goes on for. But we are due to finish at 11:30 today, so those who wish can go and watch the parade to the war memorial. Some other announcements for the coming week. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, the Knit and Natter is on. Do pray for the ongoing work of the Monday Night Kids Club. That's at 6:30 tomorrow evening. There's 3 sessions of Pilates this week, Tuesday night 6 to 7, Wednesday from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. and Saturday 9:30 a.m. And then the Bible reading and the prayer meeting is this Wednesday. We're going through the 40 daily readings, 40 daily readings based on the book of Daniel, which we started really last week on the 1st of November. The Bible reading will be Daniel 3 this Wednesday, so it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if you're not able to come to the meeting, go have a read of it, study it with us. And if, incidentally, you haven't got a copy of the Bible study booklet on Daniel, you'd like a copy, see me at the end of the service and I'll get one for you. But it's Daniel 3 this Wednesday, and we will still meet physically in the upstairs lounge, but Zoom is an option if you're not able to be with us physically. Next week, the speaker is Mr. David Mayer. Dr. David Mayer in the morning. There will not be tea in the morning next week after the service, but instead, in the evening next week, there's a visit from Robbie Troop from Mission Africa. He was with us last year, some of you may recall. He'll be with us next Sunday night, God willing, with tea at 5:30 for a 6 o'clock start in the Buck Hall. I think these are all the announcements that I need to make. So let's sing a short song before we gather, as we gather for the Lord's table. We're going to sing a song that's based, we'll certainly seem to be getting our share of Psalms this morning, but this is based in Psalm 19. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Let's rise and sing just a couple of verses, and we'll rise and sing this together as we come to the Lord's table. Around the Lord's table, let's hear what the words of the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is a day we remember those who laid down their lives in order that people may be delivered from oppression. But Lord, at this time we want to remember a greater deliverance because of one who laid down his life for sinners like us, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life so freely that sinners like ourselves may be delivered from our sin, from the bondage and from the penalty of sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. The price has been paid in full. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He died a horrible death, but he is risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. The price, the penalty has been paid. And all who call out to him and believe in him know the joy of assured salvation and that great deliverance from sin. Forgive us, Lord, when we haven't lived as we ought to have done, when we've held back as well, Lord God. Help us to be the sort of people you want us to be. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, as we give ourselves afresh to you at this time around the table. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the bread which reminds us of our Saviour's body beaten for sinners like us. Thank you for the cup which reminds us of the blood of Christ shed so freely in our behalf, which cleanses us from all sin and iniquities. As we receive these emblems this morning, Heavenly Father, may we receive them with glad and thankful hearts. And we pray these things in the lovely name of Jesus, the only Saviour of mankind. Amen. This cup is the new covenant and the blood of Christ shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us drink together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the words of Christ. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for the many. Thank you, Jesus has offered up his life for us. Thank you for our wonderful Savior this morning. Thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you are doing and will do for us. Cleanse us of our sin this morning, we pray. And thank you, Heavenly Father. We know that this act of remembrance is only till he come. Thank you, Jesus is coming again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until then, help us to live our lives faithfully for you. Thank you for this time around the Lord's table. Thank you for the great deliverance through Jesus, our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Scripture tells us that after the disciples had broken bread, they sang a hymn, and we're going to sing a great hymn now. How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made. Let's rise and sing, How Great Thou Art.
I hear the mighty voice.
just before the 2 minutes silence, let's read the scripture together. This will be our what we're looking at this morning. Psalm 98. Psalm 98. It's a psalm. It doesn't say who the author is this time, but let's read the whole psalm together. Psalm 98 says these words, "We'll sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered the steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." Amen. Let's rise as we are able and remember those who gave their lives in conflict. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, "For your tomorrow we give over today." Heavenly Father, we do bow before you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the deliverances that you've given us in years past. We've just paused, Lord, to remember those who laid down their lives so that we may enjoy these freedoms from oppression. Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord God, where there's still ongoing conflict, we pray for peace, but we thank you that you're always the Lord, you're always in control, as we're reminded from your word this morning. Help us to worship you, Lord. We do pray you'd speak to us afresh, Lord, and teach us from your word this day, we pray. It's these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing. We're going to sing before we come to the scriptures, O God, our help in ages past. Let's remain standing and sing as you're able, O God, our help in ages past. For these next few moments, we're going to look at Psalm 98. Psalm 98 will help if you've got the scriptures open before you. Psalm 98. Well, this particular psalm was written to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what? For a victory over Israel's enemies. How was it achieved? Well, it was achieved. The victory belongs to God, and this victory was achieved by, verse 1, God's right hand and his holy arm. It was also achieved in the sight of the nations. Now, which victory, which particular victory was this, is this referring to? Israel won many victories in the Old Testament against our enemies. Was it the victory against Egypt when, was it a reference to the Exodus when the people of God were set free from slavery and from bondage and from the Pharaoh and his people? Or is it a reference to a victory that came following the exile, the victory of the Medes and the Persians over Babylon, that led to the return of the Jewish exiles to their land? Now, we've been going through the book of Daniel in the Wednesday meetings, So in Daniel 5, which we haven't reached yet in the studies, but that speaks about the Medes and the Persians coming in and overcoming Babylon, and that would ultimately lead to the return of the Jewish exiles to their land, and that's recorded in Ezra chapter 1. Is this what the psalm is referring to? Is that the victory? Or is it some other victory, some other enemy? Well, we're not sure, but the psalm speaks about the victory over the enemy. But it foreshadows a mightier victory. A mightier victory. The most important victory. Salvation from sin, Satan, and death. This is the most marvelous thing. He has done marvelous things. Well, this is the most marvelous thing. And it causes the people of God to sing to the Lord a new song. In fact, when you come into to know God as your Heavenly Father, you do sing a new song. Your life's transformed. You sing a new song. You wonder at His amazing grace. And you rejoice in the marvelous things that which God has done. The psalmist's call to praise is not only because of what God has done in the past. Okay, we've been singing, "O God, our help in ages past." But the psalmist is not just recalling what God has done in the past through this victory. He's also speaking about in the present when our God reigns. You see there in verse 6, the king. He's the king, he's the Lord. And the future, okay, he's going to come as the judge. So he's the savior, he's the king, and he is the judge in verse 9, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He comes to judge the earth. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. God the Savior, God the King, and God the Judge. But can I just point out, this might surprise you, it surprised me as I was studying the psalm. This psalm was the psalm that inspired Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, to write the song, "Joy to the World." Yeah, as a taste of Christmas and Remembrance Day. "Joy to the World." That is, of course, always sung, often sung as a Christmas carol, and no doubt in a few weeks' time we'll start singing that one. But it was a surprise to me to learn that Watts actually didn't have Christmas in mind when he wrote it. Watts is describing Christ's second advent, second coming, not his first. And you think of that. Actually, it might, when you read through the words of that hymn, you might see it in a different light. So no doubt at Christmas time we'll be singing "Joy to the World." I hope we do, because it's one of my favourites. But as we remember, you know, Christmas, as we're remembering Christ's first coming, let's keep in mind as well there will be a second coming. But the psalm here, then, okay, so that's really, you know, that lets you remember that there is a time when Jesus is coming again as the judge, to judge his people. But the psalm here then has a threefold theme. It's God the Savior, God the King, and God the Judge. And that's what we're looking at for these brief moments. So we start with God the Savior in verses 1 to 3. Verses 1 to 3. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." God the Savior. The victory was gained by himself alone. There's no human intervention. It has been said that the turning point in the Second World War was when the king called the nation to prayer. That's when things started to turn in the favor of the Allies. People forget, as they celebrate, people forget it was God who gave the victory. Well, here's a victory as well spoken over in the psalm. It's by God. God gives the victory. There's no human intervention here. Sing to the Lord. He has done marvelous things. He also says here that his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Hang on a minute. Right hand and holy arm. John's gospel says, in John's gospel, Jesus says, God is spirit. God is spirit. He doesn't have a body or hands or arms. So how can it be that the Lord's right hand and holy arm have worked wonders for him? What does that mean? What it means is it points to the strength, his strength and his direct intervention on behalf of his people. It's spoken about elsewhere in Scripture as well. There's nothing, okay, so God's strength brings the victory, God's intervention brings the victory, and it's not secret. He has made known his salvation in verse 2, made it known, his salvation, and he's revealed his righteousness, salvation, righteousness. Also in verse 3, his love and faithfulness, his steadfast love and faithfulness. Israel were God's chosen people under the first covenant. They were in a covenant relationship with God. In his great, in this recent deliverance that the psalmist is speaking about, God is showing that he's powerful, but he's also showing that he is faithful. He is faithful. Psalm 92 speaks about God's steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. God is steadfast, he is faithful, he is good. Surely though, okay, as we reflect upon these things, this great deliverance, how God is faithful, how God has worked the victory by his own strength, by his mighty power, by his right arm and his right hand and his holy arm and all these wonderful things. Surely the writer is looking beyond to something more than just a local victory or a national victory. Because in verse 3 it says, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. So although the victory was won for Israel by Israel's God, they were in a special covenant relationship with him. The victory was won for Israel by their God, but it appears that the psalmist is pointing here, speaking about something greater. The psalm points to something greater. In the psalm, we have the fulfillment of Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Reaching out to the ends of the earth. As we've remembered our Lord's sacrifice for sinners, our Lord's given his life for sinners like us at the Lord's table, don't lose the wonder of salvation. Keep remembering it's all of grace. All of grace. And the same way God stepped in and won the victory here, he stepped in, it was his intervention, he stepped in, so it is with our salvation. God stepped in when the fullness of time had come. God, see, he takes the initiative. God sent forth his Son. He took the initiative. And God has revealed his salvation. We see something of himself and the way it was accomplished. We see something of his love, his righteousness, and his faithfulness. Jesus says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Right? God loved the world. He did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is the Savior. He intervenes, he breaks into history, sends his Son to be the Savior. But he comes to judge as well. He will judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. What does that remind us? He comes to save. He loves to save. He loves to be merciful. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He loves to be merciful. He loves to forgive, to bring people to himself, to bring people to himself when people repent of their sin and trust in Christ, the Savior, for salvation. But he's also faithful to his character. He is holy. We've all sinned before God, and sin must be punished. But God is a God of love and grace as well. So he's the judge, but he's the Savior. He's a God of love and grace, and he has sent his Son to bear the sins of his people. That's salvation. God's salvation, God the Savior. And God's salvation goes out to the ends of the earth. And Psalm 48 teaches us that God was not just going to save faithful people in Israel, but from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation. That's why we can sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Accomplished by the death of Christ. God sending his Son into the world. Our salvation was accomplished by the death of Christ. No wonder the writer of Hebrews calls it so great salvation. You're rejoicing in so great salvation this morning. Do you know that you've been delivered from your sin? And you're rejoicing in such great salvation because of what Jesus has done for you. I hope that's your experience this morning. God is the Savior. You see as well that God is the King in verses 4 to 6. Verses 4 to 6. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. This psalmist calls people to recognize not only his salvation, but also his kingdom. The mighty deliverance of his people reminds us that he is the one who rules the affairs. Okay, that's where you get your joy to the, you know, joy to the world. Is based on this. He rules the world. Okay? He rules the affairs of the people and the nations, and he has the final say. Oh, yes, kingdoms and leaders can rise and fall. We were looking at that Wednesday night when we were looking at Daniel chapter 2, when different kingdoms rise and different kingdoms fall, but there's one kingdom that endures, God's kingdom. God's kingdom. God will have the final say. God is to be worshipped with a joyful noise. See that in Psalm 100 as well. Make a joyful noise to the earth. He's also to be worshipped with singing and musical instruments. You see that in verses 5 and 6. It's brought out in Psalm 150. It seems likely that all these outward expressions of rejoicing are chosen because they commonly accompanied what? The coronation of a new king. When Zadok anointed Solomon the king, what did they do? If you look at it in 1 Kings, you'll see they blew the trumpet and the people shouted and rejoiced with music. And elsewhere in 2 Kings chapter 11, when Joash was crowned and anointed by Jehoiada, there was clapping of hands. The reign of the Lord is to be celebrated then with singing, shouting, clapping of hands, blowing of trumpets. God is the King. The Lord reigns. He will work out his purposes. He has given us such great salvation. He's worked out such great salvation by his own mighty hand. For such great salvation, let's make sure that we are giving genuine worship from the heart. Jesus says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, rejoicing in him. Don't just go through the motions when you come here on a Sunday morning. We all have to examine our hearts there. Let's rejoice in him. Let's make sure our worship is good, it's right. Make sure, here's something to think about. Make sure that you're going to worship and not for worship. You ever heard anyone say that to you? I go to church or I go to that meeting for the worship. You ever heard anyone saying that? Psalm 92, you read these words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. In that psalm, the writer is not interested in music for its own sake or because it influences his emotions, makes him feel good. As helpful as all that may be, what dominates his thinking is the Lord, the Most High. There is a difference between going to a service for worship and going to worship. And it may imply here the difference, okay, when you think about that, the difference between going for the worship and to worship. There's a difference between the worship of God and the worship of music. Worship is not something that we work up. It's actually something that comes down. It comes down to us from the character of God. The more we go on in our love for God, in our walk with God, in our Christian life, the more we grow. Are you growing this morning? The more we grow as Christians, God gives us more of the spirit of worship. The more we know God will produce that spirit, then it will produce more of that spirit of worship. How we worship is a test of our faith and our spiritual growth. A Christian's development, a Christian's growth in their spiritual life is seen by how he or she thinks about God. Instead of just thinking about him, we tell him, we pour it out, don't we, in prayer, in praise, in song. How wonderful we believe him to be. That's how we can sing this morning, "How great thou art." We can sing it from the heart. "How great thou art." The more we know him, the more we grow, the more we know him, and go on in our Christian life, the greater and the better will be our worship. Do you come for the worship or do you come to worship? The more we know God, the more we know Christ. That's what Paul said, didn't he? I want to know God. I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know Christ and I want to know God. The more, the greater we know him, the greater and better will be our worship. He is the Savior. We've seen that this morning. He's done so much for us. He's delivered us from darkness to light. He is the King. He is one that is really worthy of our worship. Make sure that we are going on, growing, living and growing, and that our worship is developing, that we're going to worship God. And finally, see this morning that God is the judge. God is the judge in verses 7 to 9 in our closing verses. We worship God. Why? He's a God worthy of our worship. We worship God for all he has done for us and all he's doing for us. And we worship God then, so for what he's done in the past, he saved us from our sin. What he's done in the present, he's the King, he's in control. But we worship for what lies ahead in the future. Romans chapter 8 teaches us that nature is subject to bondage. One day it will be delivered when God sets up his kingdom. He is the King, but the earth does not acknowledge him or his rule. But he will come and he will judge the earth and its people in verse 9. He has shown his righteousness already in the salvation of his people. It's going to be seen again at the second advent, at the second coming, at the judgment of the world. This will include the punishment, though, of the wicked, it has to be said. It will certainly, the righteousness of God and the majesty of God, and the character of God will be seen certainly at the second coming and the salvation of his people, but it also includes the judgment of the world. It includes the punishment of the wicked. We read 2 Thessalonians. Paul reminds us, Paul reminds us of the fate of the ungodly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. I read these words. When he comes again, he will grant the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting a vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. So you see, God's righteousness is seen in the salvation. God's salvation is seen. His righteousness is seen in the salvation of his people. It will be seen again in the judgment of the world, including the punishment of the ungodly. When Jesus comes, wrongs will be put right, sins will be judged, and the judge will bring justice to the earth. As I close this morning, remember, we have to say, are you ready for that day? We've spoken about God the Savior and the wonderful salvation he's accomplished for his people. Now, God commands all men everywhere to repent. When Jesus comes to reign as king, will he come as your saviour or your judge? He is the king. He will come again to reign. Are you ready for that day when Jesus comes again? You can say to yourself, well, I'll get ready another time. Well, you're not guaranteed another time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. But remember as well, you might get another time, but remember, if you say that, you're defying God today. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Maybe you've got to face up to the fact you've been Christianized, you've been through the church and through different meetings and whatever, but you've never come to that point where you've truly known and repented of your sin, known Jesus as your Savior, and you've experienced a changed, transformed life, living and growing and developing in your Christian life and in your worship. Think over these things. Are you ready to meet God when he comes again as the judge of all the earth? Whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have everlasting life. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. You can meet your God because of what he has done for us, the salvation he has achieved through Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So on this Remembrance Day, then, we remember the greatest deliverance of all, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent his Son to be the Savior of mankind. God is the Savior. I hope that we all know God's our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our Lord. Let's remember as well that God is the King and he rules in all the earth. And however bad things seem and whatever conflicts there are, remember that God is always in control. Not Mr. Putin, not even Mr. Trump. God is in control. God, our God, reigns. But remember, he's coming again to judge the world. Be sure that you're ready to meet him when he comes, that you know him as your Savior and not your judge. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together as we're closing. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, this time in your presence. Thank you for all that you've done for us, for Jesus our Savior, for the great deliverance that you give. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the Savior of mankind. May we all know that we are indeed rejoicing in assured salvation. The evidence of true salvation is living and growing as Christians, Lord. For faith without works is dead. But thank you for the fruit of the Spirit and for the way you change lives, Heavenly Father. And the evidence of true salvation is a changed life, living and growing and developing, Lord, as Christians. Lord, may our worship be acceptable before you this day. Thank you, Jesus is coming again. Hasten the day when Jesus comes again. May we all be sure that we are ready to meet him when he comes. These things we pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us close by singing Because He Lives. As we close, and then we'll have the benediction. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.